Glutton for punishment.
I don't know. I'm just thrilled everybody comes. It's great. It's wonderful to see you all. Bo knows the parsha. Exactly. This week, it last week, right? We always do the previous parsha. But last week was Parsha's Bo. And as we continue on our journey through the Exodus from Egypt, Parsha's Bo is a turning point. And I say that because what we're going to focus on tonight is not so much the story, but really one verse that changes the course of Jewish history. One verse. And it's not what you think. It's not related per se to the Exodus itself. It's not about the plagues. It's not about Pharaoh coming to run and get Moshe in the middle of the night to say it's time to go. It's none of that. It's a very simple thing. If I were to ask you, when does the new year begin? When does the Jewish new year begin? I think most of us would say in September or October. That's what most people would say. You would be partially right. You'd only be partially correct. Why do I say that? Is because just like we have in the world, even here in the States, in a secular calendar, we have different New Years. You can have the academic New Year, which begins usually in September and goes through June. You can have a fiscal year. It could be a calendar year. You can have different ways of calculating the 12 months that constitute a year. From the Jewish perspective, we also have different New Years. Larry, you got a question already?
Yes. When Rosh Hashanah comes, they talk about what is it, 14th day of the seventh month? And
Well,
I figure, why isn't
I hope it's
what
the first day.
first day of the seventh month? Why is that the seventh month and not the first month? That's the
Okay,
only question I've always had.
well, after this conversation, you can knock that off your question list.
Okay.
The answer is exactly what we're saying. And that is when we calculate the new year, it depends what it is we're counting. If you want to know when the calendar year begins, that's what we call Rosh Hashanah. That's the calendar year. The same way January 1st on the Gregorian calendar is considered the new year for counting, for the year, what year begins. The calendar switches from 2025 to 2026 at midnight for after December 31st into January 1st. On the Jewish calendar, it switches from the 29th of Elul to the 1st of Tishrei. That's the new year for the calendar. But that's not the only new year. We also calculate new year for when you have to give tithes. We have to give Maaser. Well, when does that count? I'm supposed to give my whatever 10% of my yearly income. Well, when does that start? When my animals, how about my crops? My crops grow on different seasons. You have to keep track of different New Years. However, what I think makes it confusing is that while the yearly calendar switches over in the month of Tishrei, the number of months, the names, or I should say the number ascribed to the months don't correspond. We will start counting the number of months from Nisan, not from Tishrei. We will start calculating the first month of the year doesn't correspond to Rosh Hashanah. It corresponds to the month in which the Exodus took place, which is the Hebrew month of Nisan. And Larry, that's probably why it's confusing. Because for the year, I calculate using a different cycle, and for the number of the months, I use a different cycle. Where does this come from? It comes from the Torah portion of Bo. And I'll read you. It's really two sentences. Hashem said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, that's verse 1. Verse 2, this month, shall be for you the beginning of the months. It shall be for you the first of the months of the year. Doesn't say it's the beginning of a new year, but when we calculate the months, Nisan, the month in which we leave Egypt, that is the starting point of number one, month number one. So when you get to Rosh Hashanah, what we call Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei, it's the seventh month. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei. The first of the seventh month is the new year for years, not for months. Different than it is on the Gregorian calendar. But why is this such a significant event? Okay, it's cool. It's a nice piece of trivia. But what is it so significant? So I want to draw your attention, and I'm going to put the emphasis on the right syllable so you don't miss it. Okay? In Hebrew, I'll read it in English. This month shall be for you, the beginning of the months. It shall be for you, the first of the months of the year. The word for you is obviously superfluous. The Torah doesn't always say, this matzah for you shall be consumed on the night of Pesach. It doesn't say that, I don't know, that, pick any mitzvah, I don't know, blowing shofar for you, it doesn't say that. However, strangely enough, in this verse, it stresses that these months, or this being the first month, is for you. What is so significant about that is the overarching question that we're going to learn about tonight. The best way to introduce this is I want you to read together with me a beautiful midrash. And as soon as I can remember how to pull it up, here we go. Here we go. You got it? Can everyone see it? This
In
is.
Hebrew. Oh, yep.
Have no fear, Robin. I got your back.
Right, thank you.
But now that you mention it, would you be so kind as to read the first paragraph? Because my voice won't hold out.
Sure. All right. Another interpretation. This month shall be for you. One who sees the moon, how should he recite the blessing? At the time when Israel was sanctifying the month, some rabbis would say, blessed who renews months, some of them would say, who consecrates months, and some of them would say, who consecrates Israel, since if Israel does not consecrate it, the consecration is nothing.
Pause
Do
for a
not.
moment.
Okay.
Pause for one moment.
Gotcha.
There are three opinions as to what is the appropriate bracha to make. We know that the way we do it is that every month, when there's a new moon, we actually go outside and we acknowledge the new moon. We acknowledge the, wait a second, did I lose it here? We acknowledge the new moon. It's called Kiddush Levana, sanctifying the new moon. The question the rabbis were dealing with is what's the appropriate blessing? So there's three opinions. One of them, Mechadesh Chadashim, blessed are you, God, who renews new months. The other one says, Mechadesh Chadashim, the one who sanctifies, consecrates new months. And then the third opinion that we're going to focus on has the strangest. What we say is, blessed are you, God, who sanctifies the Jewish people. It leaves off anything related to the moon, right? Let's see it again. The third, right? And others would say, renews months. Some say who consecrates months. And some say who consecrates Israel. What's the rationale? Since if Israel does not consecrate it, the consecration is nothing. What does that mean? What do you mean the consecration is nothing if Israel doesn't consecrate it? What does that mean? So you got to know a little history. In the old days, you didn't have a calendar that you just had to look up. When is Rosh Chodesh? When is the new month beginning this year, this month? We didn't have that. In the old days, it actually depended on testimony. Two witnesses would come to the court in Jerusalem and they would testify that they saw the very first sliver of the new moon. And the Sanhedrin, the high court, would interrogate them to see if they were telling the truth. Did you see it in this part of the sky? How high up on the horizon was it? The Sanhedrin knew astronomy very well. Once the Sanhedrin was convinced that this was the truth and that they were good Edom, good witnesses, they would declare the new month. It was their pronouncement that made it the new month. It was not considered the new month until it was actually declared and proclaimed by the Sanhedrin. It gets to an interesting dilemma. What if they made a mistake? We're human. We are fallible, present company excluded, but we've heard of people, right? They make mistakes. What if the court actually made a mistake? And instead of it being Tuesday, Rosh Chodesh, they announced that it was Wednesday. So you say, okay, live with it. What's the big deal, Rabbi? Can you think of a problem, a real problem that would potentially occur if the court was wrong and was off by a day?
The holidays would be off.
Rosh Hashanah would be
Rosh
off, yeah.
Hashanah.
Well, Robin, Rosh Hashanah is not so problematic because it's the first of the month and we're going to do it. But Fred, I think, is alluding to this. He said, well, the holidays are going to be off by a day. Okay, so what? What's so terrible? What's going to be so tragic if when the day it was supposed to start, I'm not treating it as a holiday? What's going to happen?
You'll be Shabbat would be the day, but Yom Kippur would be
Okay,
missing.
Yom Kippur is off. What else? What's also something that's like, OMG, you do not want to make that mistake.
Passover.
Yeah, you're eating chametz on a day that potentially is the first day of Passover. That would be a big no-no. Yeah, exactly. What? Right. That would be terrible. However, the rabbis, I'll show you in a moment, the rule is as follows. Hashem gave the ability to sanctify the new month to the Jewish people, and only what they sanctify, what they declare as the first of the month, that becomes reality. God says, oh, even though I know the truth, they were wrong. But if they declare that Wednesday is Rosh Chodesh, when I know in heaven that it's really Tuesday, I'm going to treat it as if Wednesday is Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because they have the power to sanctify it. What was the verse that this came from? Let's read it again. What's the verse that we're using here?
Israel sanctifying.
Right? The verse reads, this month shall be
For you.
for you. You know what the Torah is stressing? You are in charge. You, the Jewish people, are making the determination. And what you say goes. That's how powerful this is. Now let's continue. It's for that reason, by the way, that the third opinion says, you know what the blessing is? The blessing is who consecrates Israel. For since if Israel does not consecrate it, the consecration is nothing. Robin, you want to keep reading?
Sure.
Right here. Do not wonder.
Okay. Do not wonder about this, as the Holy One, blessed be He, consecrated Israel, as it is written, you shall be holy to me, as I, the Lord, am holy. Since they are consecrated to heaven, what they consecrate is consecrated. If you would like to
Okay,
know,
pause. That's it.
sorry.
That's all I need. The rest of it's going to
Okay.
bring more proofs to this.
Gotcha.
Okay? Are you digesting the import of what we're saying here? Ladies and gentlemen, I see from your calmness that you're not getting it. You should be jumping out of your seats with incredulous, what? What's being said is that the power to determine the calendar, the power to determine reality of the Jewish calendar has been handed over to us, human beings, not in heaven, to us. The fact that the Jewish people sanctify the new month and thereby all of the festivals line up according to their calculations, that's not anything new and novel per se. What is new is that the Midrash is telling us the reason for it. Did you understand what was the reason that the Midrash cited why we have the power to make that determination? Did anyone notice it? I'll let you see it again. I don't want you to miss it. Okay, I'm highlighting it for you. Do not wonder about this, as the Holy One, blessed be He, consecrated Israel, as it is written, you shall be holy to me, blah, blah, blah. Since they are consecrated to heaven, what they consecrate is consecrated. What's the reason we have this power?
Because as you're holy to me, as I, the Lord, am holy.
In simple English, what is it that we have?
Power to set the calendar.
Why? Because
Because
God
we
gave it to us.
we're
No.
in the image, we're holy as the Lord is holy.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Is that God? The Midrash is linking. I can go ahead and consecrate the months, and it's dependent on me. Why? Because God consecrated us like Him. The root of why we can do this is something known as Kedushat Yisrael, the sanctity of the Jewish people, the sanctity in and of itself. Not because the Torah just gave us the power. It's simply because the sanctity within us gives us the ability to transfer that sanctity to time and space. That's a powerful lesson. I'll give you another example. I guess peach, passion, peach tea is not enough.
No.
Now we're up to peach flavored water. Okay. Please tell me what we use. What do we use Saturday night for the Havdalah service? What objects do we use?
Candles,
Candle.
Candle,
Cup of wine,
wine,
best
cup of wine,
spices,
it's spices.
spices,
Light,
right?
flame.
Okay. So you have the cup of wine, you have the spices, and you have the candle. Okay. Why do we use spices?
For to fragrant to remember of Shabbat.
Is it for a sweet week ahead, too?
Maybe. But why of all things? Why doesn't the Torah, why don't we use, I don't know, why isn't there a mitzvah to eat candy at Havdalah?
Reminiscent of the
Or, sorry, Susan. What, how about dipping something in honey? How's that? We use that for a sweet new year.
that's been used already.
Susan, what are you going to say?
We use spices in the temple.
Okay, so but why Saturday night of all times? What's it got to do with Havdalah after Shabbos?
There's a tramp there. It's Lahavdil.
Okay, yeah, it's true to distinguish, but why? Why
Because
spices?
Shabbat was so fragrant and nice that we're trying to hold Shabbat. We're trying to keep the scent of Shabbat with us for the week,
So
basically. I
why don't
mean,
we? So then why don't we use the spices on Shabbos? There's
well, just because.
nothing on Shabbos about fragrant spices that all of a
No.
sudden Saturday night I want to hold on to it.
Well, the Sabbath has its own. So you, what Robin was saying, and that was the Sabbath is so strong, the spices are strong. So you're, without the Sabbath, you're using the spices to continue, maybe the holiness that the Sabbath maintains in its feeling.
I'll ask, I hear it, but I'll ask you the same question, Fred. Let's pretend we're the Council of 20, right? Here we have the Council of 23 people here, okay? And we're going to decide what should we use to hold on to the specialness of Shabbos. Go ahead. The floor is yours, Fred. What would you like us to do? In your wildest dreams, would you have chosen cloves?
No,
No, you would not have chosen spices. Seriously, oh, I know. Muriel's like, I know. Cinnamon sticks. That's what we're gonna use. Really? Come
it's the
on.
smell. It takes you back. The smell takes you back to that fragrance.
Takes me back to what? When I was running through the wild daisies of the field?
It takes you back to the garden.
Oh, God, the Garden of Eden. I don't know if there were cloves in the Garden of Eden.
Could it be, Rabbi, that Sabbath is so beautifully sweet that then the reality of the week is coming and cloves aren't necessarily like sweet, like honey, but life has bitter sweetness. No.
It could be. I'm not saying
Try
no, but I'm saying
it.
there's got to be something more to this. I'll make the question harder.
Oh,
Is
sure.
harder. Are the holidays and festivals also very special times?
Yes.
Don't we want to hold on to that sweetness and that fantastic experience? How come we don't have any spices after Yom Tov is over? Why don't we have, when we make Havdalah, by the way, we do make Havdalah, but there's no spices. It's just a cup of wine.
Were
There's
any
no candle. There's no
in the temple
spices. What?
during ancient times, weren't there spices used for Shabbat somewhere?
How
I'm
old do you
thinking there's a
think I am,
connection to the
Fred?
temple.
How old do you really think I am?
Well, I mean, it's in the writings, but I'm thinking, weren't there?
You were at Mount
Well,
Sinai.
there is a section where they talk about the spices. I always skip over that in the Torah, but there's that one section where they talk about it. Is that related to what you're referring to?
Yes, there were definitely fragrances and spices that were used, but you didn't answer my question. Why is it that only on Shabbos, Matzah Shabbos, Saturday night, I use spices, but on after a holiday, regardless of what night it is, unless it's Saturday night, I don't use spices. Don't I
Because
want to hold on to that fragrance and that special sweetness of Yom Tov?
isn't
So, but I don't use spices, so
it
that
why
can't be the reason.
isn't it like you because you don't want it's it was so the holidays were so great you don't want to overshadow it with the spices.
And Shabbos? Whatever answer you give for Yom Tov, you got to give the same answer for Shabbos. What's the difference?
If we don't use spices after other holidays, is it just to r remind us how special Shabbos is?
Yes, I like that answer, but you're just kicking the can down the road. What is essentially different Shabbos than Yom Tov? And you hit it on the
Shabbos
head,
happens
and
every
now let's
week.
zero in on it. What?
Shabbos happens every week.
Yeah, so that makes
Makes
it
our
more or
lives
less
special.
special.
Oh,
More or less.
that it was sort of with God, and we're sort of imitating, going back to Garden Eden. He rested on that day, so we're doing that in his honor.
Okay. And the festivals are because of wonderful experiences. Okay. Let's put it this way. I thought, Marsha, I thought you were there, but then you made a left turn and you went way out deep sea. Here's where I thought you were going. The major difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, Shabbos is absolutely not determined by anything we do. We play no role in when Shabbos comes. There's nothing you can do. You can't delay it. You can't do anything. It's Shabbos comes when Shabbos comes. Yom Tov, well, based on what we said earlier, you know when the festivals will fall out? Only when I, the court, determined when the first of the month was. I, the Jewish people, am playing a role in when the holidays actually fall. For example, if let's say 2 out of the last 3 months we determined were 30-day months and not 29, right? Because we know that a lunar month is 29 and a half, 29 and a fraction. The same way that a solar month is 30 and change, right? We don't like to stop in the middle. So some months we make 30, some months we make 31, and we alternate, right? Because we don't like to deal with fractions. You see, it's not only those of us who don't like math. Everybody, nobody likes fractions. You know, everybody loves Raymond. Nobody loves fractions. That's just the way it is. Okay. You like that reference? Okay. So how do you deal with that? So basically, you alternate. 1 month you make 29, 1 month you make 30. What if the court decided that they're going to do 29, 30, 30? That would then push off the first of the next month and then the first of the following month. So now you're off by 2 days. Because it could have been 29, 29, 29. So now you're off by 2 days. But when I determine that the first of the next month is whenever it is, that becomes what it is. And therefore, the holiday is really a day or maybe even 2 days off from what it could have been. Who makes that determination? We do. So the fact that a festival falls on the calendar the way it does is has input from me. Has input from the Jewish people. Do you follow this concept?
Yeah, because seven, the days never change. The number of days in a week never change.
Yes, that's
And
true.
therefore, one day always follows the next.
That's correct. And there's nothing I can do to change that. The Shabbos is 100% determined by Hashem. The festivals have input from the Jewish people. That's the major difference. Now, I'll even show it to you because you knew this. I knew you knew this, but you're all extremely humble, and I appreciate that. You didn't want to speak up. On Shabbos, in our prayers, whether it's Friday night or Shabbos day or in the on the Musaf, it always has one blessing. Even Mincha, where it ends with the phrase, Baruch Atah Hashem Mikadesh HaShabbat. Blessed are you, Hashem, who sanctifies the Shabbos. Right? You're familiar with that. Every prayer, Friday night, Shabbos morning, Musaf, Mincha, always. However, on the festivals, it's slightly different. I'll read you what it says and you tell me what's different. The blessing ends. Baruch atah Hashem. Well, let's not take that one. Sorry, that's Rosh Chodesh here. Baruch atah Hashem, Mikadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. Blessed are you, Hashem, who sanctifies the Israel and the festive seasons. What's different? Why isn't it just say, Blessed are you, Hashem, who sanctifies the festive seasons? The same way you said Mikadesh HaShabbat, we should say Mikadesh HaZmanim or HaMoadim. We add one word, Mikadesh Yisrael,
Because the
one who
Jewish people decide the
sanctifies the
holidays.
Jewish people and the festivals. That's a world of difference. It's acknowledging that the festivals are not only sanctified by God, but it's also sanctified by the Jewish people who were sanctified by God. You hear that difference? That is a game changer. Where does all of this come from? Our verse. This month shall be for you. The first month. It's in your hands. Why? God says, because I sanctified you. Your innate sanctity can be transferred, and you are in control to determine when Rosh Chodesh is, and thereby when the festivals fall out. This is mammoth. It speaks to the essence of being part of the Jewish people. And that is why, hold on one second, Fred. That is why when it comes to Shabbos, where I had no part in it whatsoever, I need to do something to hold on to it. Since I didn't have any input, Shabbos came because God sanctified it all by his lonesome. When it leaves, I want to hold on to it. I just need something. Hence, we have the spices using all the reasons you said, everybody. I want the fragrance. I want to keep it. All good answers. I don't need it after Yom Tov. Why? Because since the power of the Yom Tov came from me anyway, that innate sanctity I get to hold on to even after Yom Tov leaves, because it started from me. I was the source. It doesn't need the spices. There's nothing I need to grasp onto because it's already in me. You hear that distinction?
Mm-hmm.
It's a mind-boggling concept. The innate sanctity that God gave within each one of us is what gives us the power to transfer and sanctify the holidays. That's in our hands. Larry, you had a question?
Did we, am I muted? No.
No.
Did we come up with the spice part, or was that written in when the Shabbos was decreed in the Torah?
It's not a biblical commandment. When the rabbis instituted a way to demarcate the difference going from Shabbos to the weekday, they wanted us to make that distinction using the cup of wine and the candle for a different reason, and the spices for the reason we're speaking.
Good.
Sharon.
Why those particular spices?
Okay, doesn't have to be.
Okay.
It's just a very fragrant one.
Okay.
I'm not familiar. I'm sure there's a deep Kabbalistic reason, but general, you can smell anything of that. That's a, any kind
aromatic.
Of herb. It can't be artificial. You can't smell, what's it called? Airwicks. Airwicks don't count. You can't use, I don't care, Johnson, SC Johnson. They're not going to pay me enough to endorse their product.
Like a you have to use,
it can be, but it can be. A lot of the Sephardic Jews use bundles, real bundles of different kinds of herbs, different kinds of fragrant spices. I mean, they just like have this, like almost a whole bush growing, and they're like, here, smell it. I'm like, oh, thanks. I'm good. Susan.
I just want to say, I do want partial credit for having said Lahavdil, because I was on to the Havdil. It is a, that's essentially, you know, I just want to say.
That is correct. You definitely get partial credit for partial that, no question. Credit.
Thank you.
Brett, yes.
You said something earlier that started me thinking. Uh-oh. Okay, it's a two-part question, but it's all tied together. You said, let's say that they made a mistake at the beginning of one of the months. Could be the new year, could be any month. So that particular month, let's say they're a day off. Now, as the month gets to an end and you're looking for the new moon, someone finds it and realizes, oh, it's early or late, whatever the number
is. It's not going to happen. Well, it's not going to happen, Fred. I'll tell you why. I didn't want to get too technical, but let's do it.
Okay.
Now that you forced my hand.
Okay.
The new month doesn't begin at midnight.
No, in the evening.
You know, even in the secular, on the Gregorian calendar, it doesn't start at midnight. That's a made up thing so that we can all be on the same page. Technically speaking, the new month can begin any time, day or night. Right? It's when that first begins, because every month, every cycle is 29 and a fraction. Well, every 29 and a fraction, that fraction keeps coming up. Now, we ignore it for the most part, right? And we just flip-flop. 1 month we'll do yeah, 1 month we'll do no. But the truth is that let's say they came and they don't, let's say they live, sorry, let's say the witnesses don't get to the court until 2 in the afternoon. They saw it, but they had to travel. They live in Tveria. It took them a few hours to get to Yerushalayim. Okay, so now it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and they went through the interrogation. Now what? The temple has already brought a weekday offering because they didn't know it was Rosh Chodesh yet, right? Because in the morning, nobody came forward yet. So fine. So now 2 in the afternoon, what's the court going to do? Okay, everybody send out the word. Starting at 2:30, it's going to be a new month. It can't work that way, mm-mm. Right? It's not practical. So, but there's only one or two possibilities. We know they can't be off by 5 days, right? We know that every lunar month has 29 and a fraction. We know that. So it's only a matter of a few hours or half a day, which day it's going to be. We know it's either Tuesday or Wednesday. It has to be. So if they come early enough on Tuesday, we can declare Tuesday and get the word out, no problem. If they come later in the day, I can't. I'm going to declare it Wednesday. So everybody's going to know. You're not going to be off, you know, off by days and days and days. It can't be. We know it can only be one of those 2 days. So you're never going to run into that problem. Well, it depends. It depends when they come to the court.
But you brought up the thing I hadn't thought about. When I said Passover, and you said, yeah, we could be eating chametz when we're in Pehez. Now, that only takes 1 day to be off.
That's correct. But the good news is that it takes no more than 2 weeks to get the word out all across Israel. That's why there's no festival, right? Pesach is in the middle of the month. Sukkot is in the middle of the month, right? All these things are 15th and later. Except for Shavuos, but that we don't have to worry about because we know it's exactly 50 days after Pesach. So even if it's regardless of when Rosh Chodesh is called, I know it's going to be the 50th day. So it doesn't make a difference. Every festival starts at the 15th or later because then word can get out which day was really Rosh Chodesh. So no issues will ever come up with that.
But how do they acknowledge Rosh Chodesh if they didn't hear about it for 2 weeks?
The individual doesn't have to do anything for Rosh Chodesh, really. It's really the offerings brought in the temple. Nowadays, we do a special musaf, but that's only because we don't have the offering. Our prayers are taking the place of the offering.
So they would just bring their offerings as the day after they would know.
If it, let's say they came Tuesday afternoon, then Wednesday morning, they would bring the Rosh Chodesh offerings because Rosh Chodesh would be Wednesday. Even though technically they came Tuesday afternoon, but they're not going to split the day.
But for the people who don't find out about it for
what's
2 weeks.
To find? But then they'll get the word out that Wednesday was declared Rosh Chodesh. So within 14 days time, all of Israel knows.
Okay.
Tuesday afternoon, when they determine that it is going to be Rosh Chodesh, they say tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. And then the word goes out. Randy.
When they announce the new month, I always hear it as, and when it's over, when the new moon is over Jerusalem and so many, was it halaking?
Yeah.
What is that all about?
That's like counting minutes and seconds. It's This is even more technical than I want to get into. You divide time not only into hours and minutes, but every hour is divided into a different thing called chalakim, parts.
Okay.
It's like using another terminology. So it's
But it's Rosh Chodesh when the new moon appears over Jerusalem.
Well, I wouldn't say it appears over Jerusalem. It could appear over anywhere. It's when in Jerusalem standard time, this is what it would be.
Got it.
The very first sliver of the moon begins on Tuesday morning, 23 minutes and 10 chalakim after three. Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's get back to the topic here. The topic is the innate sanctity of the Jewish people. That's the answer. That's the reason why the third opinion said that the proper bracha to make on the new moon is the fact that God consecrated Israel. That's the blessing. Why? Because the fact that God consecrated us gave us the ability to determine the new moon. That intrinsically is what's special. Let's take it one more example. There's so many things I want to do with this here. Okay, once you have that understanding that the month of Nisan being the first of the months, right, and that we make that determination, it makes more sense to me now why, how do we calculate the number of years that a king, a Jewish king, has been a ruler? You know, how does it work here? How long, well, in the United States, it's easy because it's term limits, right? We know exactly when he starts and we know exactly when he finishes, right? But how do you calculate, let's say a congressman takes over in the middle of a term? How do you calculate from the day he took over? Or is there a fixed time that everybody's calendar switches? How does it work? Anybody know?
Inauguration to inauguration.
Well, he's not, the congressman is not inaugurated. He took over
from when he gets sworn in.
So everybody has their own different day?
Well, everybody who gets elected during a regular election.
Well, let's say not during a regular election. Let's say the guy took over, the congressperson passed away, and someone took their spot a month before
when he takes over. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I thought he would just fill the term, and then when the election came, that's when those
let's
people...
Let's assume, fine. So when he finishes the first month, ending the first year of that guy's cycle, and he starts year two together with everybody else, so he put in 1 month that equals 1 year? Do we say when the calendar changes, he's starting his second term, even though he was only Congress for 1 month?
I wouldn't know, but I'm thinking that's the way it might be, so someone may not serve a full number of years if he came in later than everybody else.
See, I don't know the answer, but I can tell you that on the Jewish calendar, for a king, that's exactly how it works. If the king took over in the month of Adar, for whatever the reason, that's when he was appointed as the king. The previous king passed away, and they now appointed him as the king in Adar. He's in office as king 1 month. And now the calendar turns to Nisan. That's right. Guess what? He's considered starting his second year of reign.
Okay.
Nisan is the month, what we call the new month for kings, starting the new year. Why? It makes perfect sense to me now. Because if the whole purpose of counting Nisan, where we became a people, right? That's our freedom. And God said, let that be the starting point for the mission, then it makes sense that the messengers to actualize that on here on earth, i.e. the king, starts in Nisan. How about the construction of the Mishkan, the tabernacle? When did they finish the construction? Let's see how much you guys know of history. What month of the Hebrew calendar did they actually finish the construction? It's in the Torah. This isn't some, deep mystical Kabbalistic thing. It's black on white.
They finished it in Elul.
Nope. They finished it in Kislev, Hanukkah time. They actually finished it Hanukkah time. But they didn't actually put it up. It wasn't considered officially up and inaugurated until Nisan. That means it was sitting there from Kislev to Teves, Shvat, Adar, and then Nisan. Why did they wait? Why did they wait 3 months? Because the purpose of the Mishkan, the purpose of the tabernacle, was God's presence to be down here, which is totally based on the actions of us. God says, I will dwell among you when you behave accordingly. If you don't, I will not. It's all dependent on the input from us. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because God said, that's it, time's up. No. Why was it destroyed?
Because
Based on
Jewish people weren't
our
cohesive with the
actions.
team.
It's that simple. We behave a certain way. The ramifications and the corollary of that is we don't get God's presence. We do it, then we get God's presence. What month should that be associated with? The month of Nisan. The month in which we were given the power that our actions make a difference. That's what it all boils down to. And one last point, because I am running out of steam. The fact that we are compared hold on. The fact that the Jewish people are compared to the moon even makes more sense to me now. Have you ever heard that concept that the Jewish people are compared to the moon? You ever hear that idea? Yeah, it's a pretty common symbolism about the Jewish people. And it makes sense. On the simple level, we wax and we wane. The sun is constant. It's the sun today, tomorrow. It doesn't get bigger. It doesn't get smaller. It is what it is. The moon, every day is a little different. Sometimes it's going up. Sometimes it's going down. It's like very much like the Jewish people. Sometimes we get our act together and we're going in the right direction. And sometimes we can't get our blank together and we're going in the wrong direction. That's just the way we are. We're like the moon. Sometimes we wax, sometimes we wane. In fact, how many days does it take for it to go in its cycle? 15 up and 15 down, right? Pretty much. Well, you ready for a cool piece of information? Exactly 15 generations. Exactly 15 generations from Abraham to King Solomon. That means from the beginning of our nation until it reached its heyday of building the first temple. Exactly 15 generations. And if that's not cool enough, it's exactly 15 generations later till the temple was destroyed. It goes up 15 and went down 15. But the cool part is that it's never dark forever, because as soon as we hit rock bottom, we start climbing again. And that's been the story of the Jewish people. We have our ups, and then unfortunately, we have our downs. But we're never down and out. Never, never, ever, ever. We start our motion back. In fact, the beauty of it, if you ever see the prayer for what we call Kiddush Levana, sanctifying the new month, in it, it talks about King David, David Melech Yisrael, the famous song, David Melech Yisrael, Chai Chai V'Kayam. That's where it comes from. King David lives and is sustained forever. What's that got to do with sanctifying the new moon? What's that doing in there? The answer is because just like the moon, it has its ups and it has it down, but then there's ups again. So too, the Davidic dynasty had its up, and then unfortunately, it had its downs, but it's not down and out, and it will once again be reestablished. There's so much more about this, but this is what I want to share with you. The basic message is as follows. You see one verse in the midst of a story of the Exodus that gets overlooked. The fact that Hashem gave us the very first national mitzvah. Very first. We haven't even left Egypt yet. In Egypt, God gave us this mitzvah of the new month and making the month of Nisan the first of it. And the key word is this is a month, the new month for you, because you are invested with the sanctity that God invested in us, gives you the power and the ability to sanctify everything else around you, symbolized by the moon. That's who we are. This word of Rosh Chodesh, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, is for you, is the inspirational idea that we have the power to determine this because we've been invested with that sanctity. That's the beauty of it. Like I said, one verse changes the entire course of our history because it puts in perspective, we're not just, oh, Hashem's nation or Hashem's people. What it means in practical terms is that he invested within us a sanctity that's like his to determine. He determines Shabbos, we determine festivals. That's a game changer for me. Changes everything, changes my perspective on counting the months, changes my perspective on the holy month of Nisan, and ultimately changes my perspective of my role as part of the Jewish people. All from one sentence. That's the key to all of this. Jeff.
Yeah, I came in late, so I didn't notice, but so I don't know this, but didn't Rashi say something about he thought that the Bible should start there?
Yes. It's the third piece to my puzzle that I chose not to talk about, but the answer to your question is as follows. Rashi says in the very early, early part of the Torah, right at the very first sentence of the Torah in Bereishis. Rashi quotes from his father, Rabbi Yitzchak. He says, why does the Torah begin with the story of Genesis? It should start with our mitzvah, Rosh Chodesh. Since that's the very first national mitzvah, why does it tell all these stories? And he gives his answer. I want to be clear, Jeff. I don't believe that his question is to disregard the stories of Bereishis. What I think his question was, why don't you start with the fundamental principle that God invested the Jewish people with this sanctity by telling the story of Rosh Chodesh? Then if you want to give the backdrop, how did we get there? Tell the stories of Genesis. But start with first the fundamental principle. You invested the sanctity into the us, and therefore we have the ability to sanctify the new moon. Now that you've established that, let's tell the story of how the world came to be. That's what his question really is. Not to do away with it. I don't even think that was you're not going to do away with that. That's a pivotal part of history. I think that's the key to the answer. Not my idea. I saw this from a Rabbi Eisenstadt from Cleveland. Great idea. Any other questions, thoughts, comments? Okay, fabulous. Thank you for letting me croak through it. And God willing, we'll see you all next week. Only one, everybody here should have gotten an email from me. I'll turn this offline here.